Now, we were talking about the medical mafia over the break, and it just occurs to me, you know, how exactly can they get away with it for so freaking long without a massive conspiracy being employed? You know, how can they do that? And this extends all the way to almost all mainstream anything, you know, mainstream anything.
That's right.
Mainstream oil, mainstream media, mainstream medicine, mainstream science, mainstream politics, mainstream anything that is mainstream. The reason why they call it mainstream is because mainly it's them that is a piss cloud streaming onto you at all freaking times with their propaganda, their violence, and their scumbaggery. And this has been perpetrated purposely throughout history in order to co-opt the entirety of officialdom, because humans are a pack animal, right? No illusions about this. We love being led to our frickin' doom, invariably, don't we?
Yeah, and we pay for it, too.
Yeah, it seems like the majority love to be led to their doom like a bunch of sheep being pushed off a cliff.
And the funny thing about it is we're paying for it. We're just throwing our money at these mainstream media outlets, you know, with the cable and the satellite. Nobody has the regular TV anymore with you get up off your chair and change the three channels, but you can get everything right there at your couch or your easy chair right from a remote. You can get your propaganda right at your fingertips.
That's right. Absolutely. You can sit there and stare into the idiot box as your brain melts. You know, I'd like to do one of those commercials. You know, you remember that commercial you used to do with the, you know, this is your brain, this is your drink, your brain on drugs with the egg in the frying pan. Well, they
this
should
is
do
your
one
brain
with
on
the,
television.
Exactly. They should do one with this is your brain, this is your brain on television. It just looks like a giant, you know.
Well, yeah. Look at it, Vinny. Look at their words. You mentioned, or we've been talking about medicine. A doctor has a PC on the end of his or her name, and that means for practicing. I mean, what is it called?
Pretty crap.
No. I'm sorry. Not doctors, but lawyers are PC because they are
politically correct.
Practicing counsel. That's what lawyers are. Yeah. I know that doctor has something on the end, but I don't remember what it is, but they are also practicing medicine.
MD?
No, they're
I think you're trying to say that PC is pharmaceutically collaborated.
Is that
See,
what it
I
th- is?
I thought that MDs were all on PCP.
But I also wanted to go in the actual origins of the word media. Media stems from a Latin medite, and the medites back in ancient times, they were the ones that conjured up the spirits, if you will, to scare the people or entertain them. And this is where the modern word of media comes from. Of course, the word Hollywood is also attributed with sorcery and magic, and they do the same kind of things.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they conjure up the spirit. Well, we are conjuring up the spirits of truth, my friend.
Yeah. And it's have you ever gotten that thought that the religious people of the earth actually have had it right the whole time? That there really is an evil force attempting to assail and destroy and corrupt mankind, and that there are real, good, decent elements within the human race that are rising up to defeat it?
Sure, sure.
Yep. Yeah, I think there's definitely a dark element out there. I think I don't know if we could specifically identify what evil is, if we could, you know, pinpoint it. But I do believe there is evil out there, but there's a lot of perceptions as to, you know, what evil is.
Here's another thing. A lot of people don't believe that evil exists. Have you ever encountered some of these people? You say, oh, they're poisoning people with pharmaceutical drugs and lying to them and telling them that it's good and draining their bank account and their second leading cause of death. That's evil. And they go, oh, you're just religious. You know, evil doesn't really exist. It's just perception. It's just perception. It's like, no, it's not freaking perception. It's
they
definition.
They can't admit evil because if they did, they would be admitting that there is some type of good force out there.
And that they're not on its side.
Well, right. I mean, there's different what I meant by perceptions of evil is that everyone has their own, you know, definition or interpretation of as to what exactly evil is. You know, spiritual people will say, well, it's demons and it's this and it's that. And some other people say, oh, well, it's just mean people that just have a messed up mind. And, there's a lot of different opinions on it, but it's hard to decipher exactly what evil is, you know, unless you're some kind of, scholar in theology or something. But
I think it's morality. Like everything that's complicated can usually be deconstructed back to something very simple. Okay, so what's good? Good. Okay, let's throw out some words here. You know, like we use those words that that knights swear to. You know, honor, decency, truth. Okay, that would be easily defined as something good, right? Malice, cruelty, and hate. That would be something that would be quintessential evil, wouldn't they? So if we've got these quintessential facts that are right there in front of us, if it's not one, it's probably the other. Unfortunately, though, people have been convinced that everything is now a gray area. There's no clear white. There's no clear black. There is only eternal gray. And this is the reason why, like, you ever heard the quote, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing humanity he didn't exist.
He didn't exist, yes.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
The greatest trick the Rockefellers ever ever pulled is convincing the world that they're not a ruthless bunch of criminal gangster mafioso scum.
Sure. Oh, the Rothschilds, yes.
Yeah. Who are the families? I can't remember offhand, but there's
Warburgs,
a group of families DuPont, that own Wahlberg, the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. Rhodes.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes back like way, way back. And there's a bunch of people who have exposed the bloodlines of the Illuminati. And these people trace back their families. Now, I can't even trace back my lineage past my grandparents. Right. Okay, I don't know where I really, really come from. These people do. They know where their genetic heritage comes from thousands of years back. Tracing back to the pharaohs of Egypt and so on and so forth.
Yes.
Now, what if I told you guys that you were descended from Knights of the Round Table or if you were like Sir Lancelot's descendant or something of that nature? Would that suddenly make you think to yourself, you know what, I can actually really be quite powerful and an incredible force for good and justice and truth and so on and so forth in this world, right? Because my ancestors did that, so can I. I think that's why people like me and everybody else has no idea what their lineage is. Because if we did, we'd realize that this is part of a long-term struggle against scumbaggery.
Sure.
Well,
sure.
In direct relation to that, a quick note on your comment there. My background, actually, I happen to know through my grandparents that my ancestors in the not too terribly distant past were guards for the king and queen, and in order to do that, you had to have, there were certain requirements. You had to be, you know, at least like, you had to be at least like 6'1" or something like that, and you had to have, you know, very good training in self-defense and different types of hand-to-hand combat and warfare. So, you know, these guys were really, you know, and not only just that, but you also had to be a very honorable character, and you had to show integrity and fortitude. So the only thing that bothers me about that is the fact that I know that the people that are considered royals today are just, you know, in cahoots with controlling the rest of the world.
Mm. What do you call two owls that are working together on a crime? In cahoots.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. I do need some kind of a snare drum or some sort of mariachi band behind
yeah, you,
me.
Yeah, you need some kind of, right, maybe a banjo.
Yeah. My dad used to play the banjo, and my brother's got his banjo now, and he's trying to play it and what have you. I'm just terrible. What's the terminology being all fingers and thumbs? You know, in terms of my voice, in terms of lyrics and so on and so forth. You know, somebody could just start playing a tune, and I'll come out with a completed song off the top of my head, sort of thing. Like I've.
Right.
I've not met anybody else so far in my life that can kind of do that, aside from freestyle rappers. But they don't right. they don't really go anywhere with their songs. They don't have structured choruses and so on and so forth. So it's that unique talent that I have. And it turns out that my father was very much like that. He was he sung songs and made stuff up off the top of his head. Great MC and so on and so forth. Mother was a poet. And a nurse, and she's a bit kind of intuitive herself as well. Dad was a genius. He had the ability. He made like 400 different types of forklift tire. He designed by himself. Incredible engineering knowledge, and so on and so forth.
Wow, and that's awesome.
And it occurs to me that I was, despite the fact that my upbringing was anything but. Inspiring and loving and caring, you know. I mean, I had a really hard life. Dad was very violent and so on and so forth. Divorce happened, and I didn't really see the guy for about 17 years, and then he died and sort of thing. And I've been thinking about it a lot lately. You know, it's like I never really had a relationship with my father. But it occurs to me that what I've done in order to compensate for that is I've collected other father figures. Like, for example, the editor of this magazine, Uncensored, here, my friend Jonathan Eisen. I consider him one of my sort of surrogate father figures, and he's been a great mentor to me. My former producer Mitch Santel, who now produces the Hagman and Hagman Report on Blog Talk Radio, he was a really good father figure to me. And I think that this is what's really the crux of the issue here, is that you get endowed with these certain abilities by your parents, but it's unless they're actually actively trying to nurture you and bring you up to harness those abilities and skills, you've got nothing.
Right.
And I didn't have any of these abilities until I started realizing what it was that I had to do in order to control myself, in order to make myself a better man. And right. I needed other men to show me that.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a lot of what we're missing. By the way, I'm sorry to hear that you lost your father like that. And it's I think that a lot of young men, you know, and when I say young, I mean, you know, anybody. You know, that's under, you know, 50, 55 years of age. I think that a lot of us have lost that family structure to where a lot of us no longer have that male, role model to look up to. You know, like when I was young, before I lost my grandfathers, I looked up to them a lot and stuff. And so I think that a lot of people we've lost kind of that role model, you know, someone to follow, someone to learn from. So we kind of have to, you know, you're right, Vinny, a lot of us have to kind of just teach ourselves, and we learn by trial and error, so to speak. So, yeah, that's a good point.
If I may be so bold, you have two choices in life. You can accept your conditions and make what you can from them, or accept your conditions and have them make out of you what they want. You know, and this is part of the conditioning. This is part of the mind control, I think. Once you recognize that, oh my God, I'm actually really powerful. Oh my God, I've actually got free choice. I can actually choose which side of the road I cross. I can actually choose who I talk to, who I associate with, what I spend every minute of my day doing. And it's only once you decide, like you actually make a decision, you actually make a choice, and you try and do something and you're successful at it, until that happens, you have no idea how powerful you are. You think that you're weak. You think that you're easily beaten, and you get browbeaten by everybody telling you that you're not this, or you're not that, or you should be doing this, or you should be doing that. And my father had a saying, there's only one way, it's the Eastwood way. You know, I'm just thinking about this, you know, it's like, oh my God, we've all got our own Eastwood way, don't we?
That's the thing, Vinny. I was very young.
You know what's really a real shame here? Every single time Stephen starts talking, we have to go to a break. And he forgets what he was talking about, and we don't revisit it. So we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. And Stephen's going to tell us about when he was a youth.